Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Israel's policy of swift retaliation for terrorist attacks today sent six Israeli warplanes some 1,500 miles to Tunisia to bomb the headquarters of the Palestine Liberation Organization. Some reports say as many as 40 people were killed and 100 injured. Today's air raid came less than a week after Palestinian gunmen killed three Israelis on their yacht in Cyprus. More from Bruno Wassertile.
It was the longest-range Israeli air operation since the 1976 Entebbe rescue. Israeli fighter bombers refueling over the Mediterranean made the 3,000-mile round trip to Tunis without mishap, according to military sources here, and with their mission accomplished. This was the destruction of Yasser Arafat's PLO headquarters just outside the Tunisian capital. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, Jerusalem.
This is Dan Raviv in London. An official in the political department of the PLO in Tunis told CBS News by telephone that several PLO offices were severely damaged, that rescue operations had been going on for hours for Palestinians killed and injured.
We are waiting for the official report.
Was this actually the office of Chairman Arafat that was hit?
Yes, but I assure you that Chairman Arafat is 100% safe.
The official said Yasser Arafat is in Tunis but was uninjured. As for the killing of three Israelis in Cyprus last week, the PLO official said Israel is simply using that event as a pretext for its first ever attack in Tunisia. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Egypt has denounced the Israeli air raid as a, quote, heinous criminal action, and it broke off border talks with the Israelis. Soviet diplomats in Lebanon have grave fears this morning about the fate of four colleagues kidnapped yesterday as pawns in the bloody factional fighting in Tripoli. Today, one of the Russians is reported to have been executed.
This is Margaret Rogg in Larnaca, Cyprus. The Christian radio station's report, monitored here, said one of the Russian diplomats, a cultural attaché, has been executed. The report said that the anonymous caller warned that one hostage would be killed each hour unless Syria stops the fighting between its allies and Sunni fundamentalists in the Lebanese port of Tripoli. Hours after the radio station said it had received the anonymous call, there was still no confirmation of the report and no further word on the fate of the other Soviet hostages. There is confusion over who kidnapped the Russians yesterday in West Beirut. Two Islamic fundamentalist groups have claimed responsibility. One of them, the Islamic Liberation Organization, believed to be a Sunni Muslim group, sent copies of the ID cards of two of the Russians to Beirut newspapers today. The group said Moscow must force Syria to intervene in the Tripoli fighting. The shadowy Islamic Jihad also took responsibility for the kidnappings, but that was later denied by another anonymous caller who said he represented the Shiite Muslim group. Margaret Rogg for CBS News, Larnaca, Cyprus.
At the nuclear arms talks in Geneva, the Soviet side today staged a major public relations blitz for their new proposal for cutting nuclear arsenals in half and shelving Star Wars. Richard Roth has details.
Chief Soviet negotiator Viktor Karpov had a monopoly on reporters' attention. His face was beaming as officials escorted journalists into the Soviet delegation's offices before the American negotiators had arrived. It gave Karpov several minutes alone with the press, and he used it to his side's best advantage. "Our proposal is well balanced," he said. "It's as balanced as I am standing on my feet."
"We are taking a reasonable step."
Moreover, said the Russian, "it is not a counter-proposal. As far as I know," he said, "there are no proposals from the American side." "Has the U.S. side been dragging its feet?" he was asked. "Yes," said Karpov, "all the time." It was a command performance, and the Americans didn't even get a chance to respond. The U.S. delegation walked in with time only to say good morning before the two groups were seated at a table where the formal talks began. Richard Roth, CBS News, Geneva.
President Reagan and Soviet leader Gorbachev go to the Geneva summit in mid-November, and later this month, Mr. Reagan plans to consult with major U.S. allies. One of them will have already sized up the new Kremlin leader.
This is David Andelman in Paris. A politically wounded François Mitterrand is preparing for tomorrow's arrival of Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, paying his first visit to the West since taking power. Still battling the backlash of the Greenpeace scandal that has all but destroyed the political viability of the Mitterrand regime, France's prime minister summoned the cabinet to a secret breakfast meeting this morning at which he is said to have relayed a pep talk from the French president that the regime continues to press forward dynamically. But privately, government sources say this is hardly the case. The French government living in fear each day of new revelations of government complicity in the bombing of the Rainbow Warrior and subsequent cover-up. In this atmosphere, it's clear that Gorbachev will have very much the upper hand during his four-day visit. Mitron's ability to press issues such as Soviet human rights abuses and compromises on nuclear arms control has been seriously impaired. First, as a result of his own government's behavior in the Greenpeace affair. Second, as a result of Mitron's tough statements that the French nuclear arsenal will be defended at all cost. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
Margaret Heckler, one of two women in the Reagan cabinet, is thinking this morning about her future. And as Gary Schuster reports, her options are limited.
President Reagan wants to promote Margaret Heckler out of her job as Secretary of Health and Human Services and into the post of U.S. Ambassador to Ireland. But Mrs. Heckler, who has said the diplomatic job is a lovely position for somebody else, has asked the president to give her a few days to decide if she wants to take him up on his offer. But there is no alternative for her if she decides not to go to Dublin. The president's action is a thinly veiled attempt to remove Mrs. Heckler from her job running the agency with the highest budget in the federal government. Mrs. Heckler fell into disfavor with White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan because of her reported failure to carry out the administration's conservative policies. When Mr. Reagan said he and Regan were of a similar mind about Mrs. Heckler's future, White House officials knew she was on her way out. Gary Schuster, CBS News, The White House.
One of the great men of contemporary American letters died overnight. E.B. White, master of simple writing, whose works included Charlotte's Web, died in Brooklyn, Maine at the age of 86. White wrote some of the New Yorker magazine's most memorable witticisms, and the little book Elements of Style, which he wrote with William Strunk, has helped many a struggling writer cope with the English language. It's reported quiet this morning in Ashburn, Georgia, where yesterday's fatal police shooting of a black burglary suspect at the Turner County Courthouse led to a night of violence. Sheriff Lamar Whidden says Robert White was shot in the back as he tried to escape from a hearing. Whidden says agents of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation were sent in to investigate. The dollar opened mixed on European exchanges today after moving higher against the yen in Tokyo. Gold moved nearly $2 lower in London. The morning fix there was $323.15 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 1.35 at 1327.28. Big board volume more than 13 million shares. Our time is now coming up on 10 minutes past the hour.